Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about pets and the afterlife. Communicating with the spirits of animals, a conversation with Nicole Strickland. With you giving talks on this subject, animals in the afterlife, I imagine that you have heard a lot of stories too.
Yes.
So when you do a talk on that, do people kind of just offer up, or is there a place in there where people can share their own experiences?
Yes. And so this my presentation, Animals in the Afterlife, I developed it. I got the inspiration because of and through all of these experiences I've been having. So it's a newer presentation, and I gave it through San Diego Oasis November. So that's the first time I've done it. But I save some time at the end for people to share if they have any questions or if they want to share an experience. And yes, there were many, many. And it was a hybrid presentation, so part of it was, you know, on-site as well as via Zoom. And there were many people coming forward with similar types of experiences. So goes to show that, you know, it's more common. And I think people are, and whether it's with an animal or a human, I think people are more comfortable these days sharing these types of spiritual occurrences. It's not so hush-hush anymore, if that makes sense.
Yes, I think if you can have that experience with a human loved one, I think that my connection to my pets is as strong. I am as connected, if not more so connected, than with humans. I live with my pets. I have a house. I live by myself. I have three pets now. And when I lost my dog, I had him and two cats. That was a profound change in my house. All of a sudden, I don't have a dog. And for the first time in my adult life, it just changes your life so much. Having them and then losing them is such a profound experience.
And it's hard, very difficult to lose an animal. I think it's one of life's ultimate cruelties to have to go through that.
But I do also think that, you know, if I still had Buddy here, I wouldn't have Benji, my new dog. So I guess there's that kind of opens you up to have more experiences. I don't know.
I think so. Do you think perhaps he guided you to your new dog, or how do you feel about that?
You know, that's an interesting.
You may not want to share that, but if you do,
because we were talking about that. But when I lost my dog, Buddy, the one I'd had for 16 and a half years, that morning we talked for hours and hours and hours. I was like, when the time's right, bring me another dog. You know, like I kind of wanted him to pick out the dog. I bartend at my friend's theater. I write for the theater, so it's just fun. It's a fun environment. All my friends are there, the actors, you know, it's just fun. And so one of the theater's really good friends had passed away, and I wasn't supposed to work the next night, but I ended up working for an animal rescue and doing a benefit. And here's this one dog there, and he's now laying on my bed behind me, sound asleep. But I kind of feel like that was the right dog at the right time.
Yes.
You know, like the cat distribution system. I don't know. I think, but I like to think that Buddy had a little paw in it in helping me. I think my friend who had passed away kind of helped me get this dog because he ended up being the most perfect dog for me. And so I kind of think, I think one dog can bring you another one. When the
Absolutely.
Time is right.
It's such an amazing story that you're sharing right now.
But when I turned around, because my friend came up with holding him, and he looked at me, and I turned around, and he goes, he's up for adoption, just saying. And I turned around, and I looked at him, and I said, that's my dog.
There you
that's
go.
That's him. I knew it.
Yes. And but that's how it happens. That's how. And I've asked Kaylee and Max to let me know. And I would say for the last few weeks, I feel it's getting closer, but I wouldn't be surprised within a year if, but again, I'm not going to plan it. It's going to happen as it's supposed to.
you know, there's these weird little sign things too. Like one day after Buddy passed away, because he was really my soulmate dog. I've been lucky. I've had several soulmate dogs, but I'd never had a dog 16 and a half years. So one day I was at work and I would always come home for lunch to let Buddy out. And so I'd always come home, let him out, walk him, go back to work. And so after he passed away, I didn't know what to do with my lunch hours. And so one day I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm going to drive home. And because I wasn't doing that because it was hard, I'd walk in the house, he's not here. But that one day, I'm going to drive home and I guess have lunch. I walked in the house and I walked in the kitchen. And I literally, when this happened, I got my phone out and I took a picture. One of his dog bones was in the middle of the kitchen.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know. Now I have a cat that I call a cat dog. And maybe Izzy got the bone and drug it out into the middle of the kitchen. Could have happened. But the weird thing is he hadn't chewed a bone like that for quite a while. The bone wasn't even chewed at all. Looked like a brand new bone. And it had to have been under maybe the sofa. But I don't know how it could have been under the sofa because I have carpeting. How would, you know, could you, I don't know how, my cat can't even fit under the sofa. And this was about a month after my dog was gone. So I don't know how the bone ended up in the middle of the kitchen. I mean, I guess there are ways you could explain it.
No, but see, there's the brain trying to, you know, explain it, and it's maybe there is a reason, maybe, you know, but it's the experience that matters.
You know, we have another podcast called Real Ghost Stories Online where people write in and share their real ghost stories, or they might call in and share stories. And over the years, I cannot even tell you how many stories we've gotten from people who have experienced just what you and I are talking about today, had that experience with a pet after they've crossed over the rainbow bridge. So I found one that I really wanted to share. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, please.
Okay, here it goes.
I've been debating whether or not I want to call in and share my story, but I've never done anything like this before, but I would like to. Basically, it's not a scary story. It's a little bit of a sweet story, but when I was younger, I had a cat that I was very close with, and this cat would sleep with me every single night. Like, we were inseparable. She would go everywhere in the house that I went. She was basically my baby. And every night, this cat would sleep with me, and she'd sleep either next to me or she would sleep above my head. Of course, she got older, and unfortunately, she passed away. And this is about the time that I moved away from my home to go to college. And, you know, it was sad for me. It was hard to get used to because I got so used to that cat sleeping with me every single night and sleeping above my head. You know, I would hear her purring and just feel her warmth. And so not having that anymore and knowing she was gone forever was really heartbreaking. But about a year and a half later, it was the summer of my junior year of college. I hadn't been home much. I hadn't seen my family because I was just going with school, and I'd gotten an internship at a big company. And so I didn't even get to go home for the summer. I went straight from college to this internship. And I was in an apartment in the city. I was having a rough time. My coworkers in the internship and I really didn't get along. I was far away from my family. I hadn't seen my family. I was having a really rough time. And my cat had been gone for a while, and to be honest with you, I wasn't even thinking about her. And then one night in the middle of the summer after a really rough day, it was about 1 or 2 in the morning, I was sound asleep. But I distinctly remember waking up, you know, it was half asleep. I was woken up by something. It was at that point where you're awake, but you're not. You're conscious of where you are and the environment, but you're not really conscious of what's going on. And I just remember at the foot of my bed feeling something jump up onto the bed and walk along my back. And then I could feel the pressure on the bed. You know, I could feel the footsteps. I could feel the pressure change, and not paying much mind to it because it was a feeling I had been used to years ago. And then I felt something get on my pillow and lay down on my pillow. And I felt the pressure and the warmth wrap around my head. and I heard a purring noise. My cat, she would always purr when she laid above my head. And, you know, I didn't think much of it. I went back to sleep for a second, and then I flew up because I'm like, wait, that's not right. I turn on the light, and I'm ripping the room apart because my cat, I was like, that was my cat. Where was she? What's going on? And so, you know, I had that experience where she came back, and, you know, it was, I think it was her way of saying, hey, I'm still here with you. I know you're having a rough time, but everything's okay. And I'm looking out for you. I'm still with you. And, you know, at first I was a little scared and it freaked me out, but then I was reassured. The more I thought about it, I was like, wow, she's still here. She's still with me. And that's the only time that's happened. But I mean, it made me feel so much better knowing that she was okay and knowing that she was here with me and just having that experience of feeling that pressure on the bed and feeling that pressure on my pillow and hearing that familiar sound that I hadn't heard in a year and a half or so. So, you know, it was a really neat experience, but I'm glad I had it, and I share it whenever I can. You guys have a good night.
Wow.
You know, I just find that story so fascinating because, once again, there are just things like your pet jumping up on your bed that you know exactly what that feeling is, you know, and the fact that his cat did exactly what it had always done. It jumped up on the bed, it went up to the pillow, kind of wrapped itself around his head, purring, to the point he wasn't even thinking, you know, that was just his cat. Then he realized that his cat was gone. That just gives me all the goosebumps.
Yes. Maybe I'm physically gone, but, you know, I'm still alive, just in a different way.
That reminds me. There was one night, now, who knows what I really heard. You could have heard anything. I was sound asleep. But I was sound asleep, woke up, I swore I heard a dog squeaky toy, that recognizable squeak sound. And I sat up. I was like, what the hell was that? And then I convinced myself it was my cat, because I couldn't have just heard a dog squeaky toy.
See how we try to, like, just, and maybe we're correct, maybe it was the cat, but it's so easy for our minds to just want to logically try to explain it. And there may be a logical reason, right? But sometimes there's not, and you just have to go with that. You know, it's interesting. Max and Kaylee would occasionally meow like the normal meow, but they had a distinct meow as well. And they both would meow like this, meow, meow, like that. And so when I hear that, meow, meow, it's just so distinctive to them. How can I deny it? Maybe it's a not necessarily a bereavement hallucination. If I'm thinking of them and I hear it, maybe it's me creating it. I don't know, but it happens so randomly at times.
And I think it's weird. Meow, meow. Yeah. When you hear that, and you know, you could just be watching TV or you're laying in bed reading, or it's not like you're thinking, man, I sure would like to hear that meow right now.
That's exactly what you said it better than me. Exactly.
And it just happens, like the dog squeaky toy that night. It was, it woke me up. So I don't know what I heard. But what about people who have lost a pet and they really desperately want that sign from them? Do you think that, I don't think every, it's just like with humans, not every person who passes is going to give you a sign. You won't have a connection with every person you love after they die. You might not have a visitation dream. You might. Do you have any advice for people who are looking for that connection from a loved one, be it a cat, dog, or person, horse, whatever it might be?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I will say that, you know, animals may come through in different ways for certain people. So it's not always uniform. I do believe that they want us to know that they're okay. And like we said earlier, they're very high vibrational beings. And in a way, I think they can see the afterlife around them. They want us to know that we'll see them again. But I think that if you really want to have that connection with your animal, I mean, and these are some things that I've talked about during the presentation, I think it's important to set that intention put that out there. Let your animal know that you want to have that connection with them in spirit. Meditate on it. And while doing that, and this has helped me, this is something that I've done too, concentrate on that love and bond that you've had with your pet, and even the bond that you continue to share even with them being in the afterlife. While doing so, during my presentation, I would say, you know, for example, you might want to hold their favorite toy, go to their favorite place and meditate on this, ask them to come to you in dreams. You could even use a photo or have a photo of them nearby and look at that photo as you're setting that intention. And then even like concentrate on the amazing memories that you've had with your animal. And when you do that, just allow yourself to trust the signs that you're receiving from the afterlife. They may come through via synchronicity. But when that happens, you will know without a doubt that, okay, this is a synchronous type of sign. You just know. You can't plan for it. It's going to happen when it's supposed to. But that's, I think, one way they can utilize, through synchronicity coming through to us. And then just telepathy and the telepathic communication. And it's hard to plan it because everything will be different. You know, you can have 10 people and 10 different pets, and each animal is going to come through differently. But it goes back to trusting your heart and trusting what your soul is telling you. If you have a heartfelt, and I'm saying not the ego, not the brain, trust your heart. If you have a certain experience and your heart is telling you, wow, that was absolutely an experience, you have to go with that. It's hard to explain, but that's the advice that I would have.
And I think that often, as you and I were talking about earlier, when we want a sign from a loved one or a pet, because I feel that they're the same category to me. I don't see a distinction between losing, you know, the grief losing my dog was very similar to the grief of when I lost my dad. And
of course.
And in fact, I lost a dog a couple months after I lost my dad. And that was just really difficult. And
because
that friendship is so strong. Mm-hmm. But I think that sometimes you look for, like I was saying earlier, the Queen Elizabeth rainbow that happened when she passed away. That's a sign. It's like, I want that to happen.
And you just know when it is. It's not something that you're going to see or hear and think, okay, well, that could be a sign. It could be a sign because of A, B, and C. You don't think like that. When it happens, it's just this universal all-knowing. Right after Kaylee transitioned, December 19th, 2019, about 3:02 p.m. I didn't write it down, but I remember it was just shortly after 3. And even the veterinarian was crying because he loved her. And he even said when she... And it was a very, very peaceful passing. The most peaceful passing of any animal I've ever witnessed. Max was as well. But he was like, oh my gosh, I feel her all around me. So I could tell at that point that veterinarian was, you know, obviously a believer. But it was almost immediate. And it wasn't, there was no time for my brain to try to process, okay, could this be a sign? It was like this all-knowing. Immediately when we exited the room, because we spent some time with Kaylee after, and I told Kaylee, I said, Kaylee, I don't want you to feel like you have to come visit or that you have to comfort myself. I want you to get used to where you're going. That's important. Understand I'm going to be sad, but you know, don't feel like you have to stay here because of it. I want you to be able to evolve to where you're going. I told her that. But almost immediately leaving the room, down the hallway, there was this bright, it had been raining that day, but at this time there was this bright, bright, shining light coming through the door, and the way it looked was just beautiful. And then coming home, we stopped at In-N-Out. I wasn't really that hungry, but we stopped at In-N-Out. And then after rounding the corner on Balboa Avenue, I happened to look up, and my eyes, when I looked up at this billboard, my eyes went straight to this fingertip that was touching this bright orb of light. And I didn't have time for my brain to process, oh, I'm looking at a billboard and okay, yeah, this could be a sign. It was just like this instantaneous. I knew it was synchronicity. The following day, I was at a stoplight and I saw these two birds dancing in unison in the sky, unlike anything I've ever seen. And I just innately knew, that's another synchronous moment that, you know, brother and sister are reunited, things like that. So what I'm trying to say is, you will just know. You will just know. Your brain won't even have time to even wonder, okay, could this be a sign? Could it not? You will just know. And that's what you have to trust.
I think that so often when people lose a pet or a loved one, you know, they are looking for those big signs, and it could be something little that happens, like those dancing birds could be the sign. But the morning I lost Buddy, and I was just so distraught, and I didn't know even if I was going to make the call that day or not. I didn't know. I'm laying on the ground talking to him. It's like 7 in the morning, and I said, I can't do this if I don't have a sign. And it's not even possible. I can't make this decision without knowing 100% this is the right thing to do. And he can't talk to me. And so my cats about that time wanted to go outside, and they only get to go outside with me. They're both very good. They stay in the yard. They come back in when I tell them. It's really cute. But so I went outside with them. I sat on the step, and I'm just crying. And something caught my eye, and I look over, and this hummingbird just flew up to me. And maybe an arm length away, so maybe about 3 feet from me, and just hovering. And just looking at me.
Wow.
And wow. I'm looking at the hummingbird, and I'm like, the hummingbird is looking right at me. And then it hit me. I'm like, that's the sign that I just asked for. So I made the decision. My vet came to my house. I have a wonderful veterinarian. And the next day after everything was over, I was sitting on the sofa. I have an L-shaped sofa. And to my right, I had windows, and I saw something again out of the corner of my eye, looked over, and a different kind of bird flew up, latched onto the screen, and looked inside my house. And at the exact same thing, I went, that bird is looking at me. And then it flew off. And then I was like, oh my God, that was sent from my dog. Now, was it? I have no idea. But I will forever think that was a sign from my dog. That
and that's
he
what
was
you have
okay.
to go with.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You have to go with that. That's a beautiful story. And there's so many of these.
And
but it's, you know, just like you said, you just know, you can't doubt it.
And don't you think, too, it's, you know, there's no proof for anything with the afterlife and with spirits and with ghosts and all that sort of thing.
Right.
But when you look at the how many experiences so many people have had from different walks of life in different parts of the world, and they've all had similar experiences. I'm like, there's got to be something to all of that.
Oh, without a doubt. Absolutely. I mean, even with near-death experiences, when you look at those, different cultures, different ages, people from all over the world describing the same or near same characteristics and traits. You just, mm-hmm. and there's thousands upon thousands of these.
Now, what I am looking forward to is you and I are going to be having another conversation soon.
Oh,
you've
lovely.
Got another,
I would love it.
You've got another book coming out. You're another
yes.
person. I don't know when you sleep. But
no,
this,
I do. Oh,
this,
trust me, I do.
This new book.
I need it, too. If I don't sleep, you do not want to be around me.
But the new book is Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal. And you've written that along with Marie D. Jones and Denise Agnew. Can
yes.
you give me a little synopsis of that book, a little teaser?
Sure. So this was actually Marie D. Jones's idea. And she approached me. It's been almost 2 years. We've been working on it for near 2 years now. And she approached me with the idea. And she said, would you want to work on this with me? And I said, yeah, this sounds like a fabulous topic and very needed. It's very timely. And so she also approached Denise A. Agnew and their writing partners as well, screenwriting partners and whatnot. So the three of us got together and we just set off. And there were about 25 different women in the book. So it's an anthology, of course. And so it features women from all over, ghost researchers, psychic mediums, those in the cryptozoological fields, I think we have a couple ufology stories, authors, radio hosts, and whatnot. And so it features their stories and how they got into the field and the work that they do. And so it's interesting. We just finished the editing and now it's in the formatting stage. But we're debuting it, I believe, the week of March 24th to coincide with, I think it's International Women's Day or Women's Week. So that's it. So we might be doing a second volume at some point, but we're excited about it.
I cannot wait to talk about that. I think that'll be so yes. interesting. I can't wait to read it and have a discussion about that. So I'm excited. You'll be back on again soon.
Absolutely. I'll let them know. Yeah, we're starting to do some interviews for it. But great idea. I mean, for Marie to come up with that. And so we're excited for sure.
Now, people can get more information about you, and your website is authornicolestrickland.com. There's lots of information. You can find the links to the books that you've written there. You can you purchase the books through your...
I just give them... I don't have a store yet on my website, but I list the different ways. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, I list the different links where you can get them. I think most people do Amazon. And with my Queen Mary books, if you ever go to the ship in Long Beach, they're on board there as well, the Queen Mary one. So,
well, Nicole, it's such a pleasure to get to talk to you again.
Oh,
and I loved having this conversation. Wonderful.
Yes, this was amazing. Very important, too. I think it can reach a lot of people.
And that wraps up our conversation about pets and the afterlife with Nicole Strickland. For more information about Nicole, visit her website at authornicolestrickland.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and you'll find everything there, also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.